message around the life group sign up just for a minute or two, but because it kind of points to what we're trying to do as Grace Life. Amen? I was listening to a preach the other day about Jesus and how Jesus never told anyone to go to church. So you go and find him ever mentioning to anyone to go to church. Jesus didn't do that. But he used the word church twice. And the word church is the Greek word ecclesia, and both times in the book of Matthew. And that word is used in the context of a gathering of people. So the word ecclesia is not a Christian word. So it's not, this is not, the word ecclesia is not this, but it is this, but it's not this only. It's actually a group of people that come together for a specific reason. It can be political, it can be for something else, but we come together as the church to be the church, amen? And so it's called ecclesia in the Greek, which is the English word church. So we don't come together on a Sunday so that we can come to church. We actually, the word ecclesia is, we're a body that comes together. We're like a governing body. And the governing body in a school, wherever they may be, come together and they've got a purpose. That everyone is together there and they all have a say and they all have a part to play and they all carry a weight and a reason for being there. And they make decisions based on what they carry in the collectivistic togetherness around what they're doing. What's happened in the church up until 2026 is that it's become, you sit and stare at the few people in the front that all make all the decisions and they do all the work and they decide what's going on where and where. And that's actually not what the church is about. The church is supposed to be a collectivistic us together as an SGB for the church of God, hearing the Holy Spirit together, making decisions to impact this world. Amen. But it's been relegated to, I do, you watch. You sit, nice preach, pastor, see you next Sunday. Not many people in SGB is going to last like that. They're going to say, listen, you're not adding much weight here. I think you just go home. Amen. So the thing is not that you're doing the incorrect thing. It's that we understand, we have a wrong understanding of what church is. We've lost the meaning of church over 2,000 years, by and large. And so, and I believe God is changing things in these end times. So you always have leadership. If you go look at the book of, if you go look at the New Testament, there's leadership, there's elders. Amen? There's deacons. There's leaders who lead in the church of God. But it's not a passive, I lead, I do, you watch. As a matter of fact, the book of Corinthians says, everyone, when you come, everyone has. So when you come together, we're all supposed to have gifts and we outwork and we do things together for the advancement of the kingdom onto the planet. Who's with me? And so every time you read something, what's wrong, babe? Don't have to sounds like you want to speak through. I must use that mic. What's wrong with this mic? Sounds hollow. Sean, bro, I sound hollow.
Then the preacher sounds hollow. All right. Anyway, I'm burning some time here. The point is, everything we do, including the series, and everything is geared towards us being the bride of Christ as God's called us to become. Amen. And even in us, even in my, as we walk forward, it's like there's got to be changes, even in the way we understand how church goes. The leaders, and myself, I love connecting with other pastors because we want to grow in what God's called us to grow into. Amen. In 2 weeks' time, on Thursday, I fly to Brazil. I'm not going on holiday. You must see my itinerary. If I show you, you go, woo, I'd prefer to stay at home. It's hectic. It's like I don't stop, like every day. And then the whole of the week in Sao Paulo, I'm washing dishes, and I think I'm cooking something every day. Although I do wash dishes well, but we've got a whole team who's got to clean and sweep and wash dishes and cook, and I'll direct. No, I'm just kidding. So I want to say something quickly. Talk about that. We've asked God a number of times. Like, you know, I haven't traveled internationally as well. We did in 2009. I did. Paid for that out of our own pocket. Dawn now out of our own bond. I went to the City Hill in Hong Kong for the glory and grace of Rob Rufus. I went to the two guys from Grace Life. But in those days, people weren't even tithing, let alone giving it to anything else. And so Dawn and I were paying for the rent ourselves out of our own pocket. But we're planting the church, we're moving forward. Amen. But I felt I wanted to go to Hong Kong and see Rob and listen to the Glory and Grace and et cetera, et cetera. And so it's been, since then, I haven't traveled internationally, obviously around South Africa. And for the last couple of years, there's been people saying stuff to Dawn and I, hey, you, babe, please pass my phone, it's in the bag there. Saying to Dawn and I, there's travel on your itinerary. You need to get your passports in order. This was a number of years ago. So 2 years ago, we got our passports in order. Dawn's got a British passport, dual citizenship. That expired, so she got that renewed. Not that we're going to England, but, you know, just that it's there. We got our passports, the kids, Dawn and I, all our passports ready. And because you know, God says, get ready. And so what happened was, and a few people have come and said, this is what's happened. You need to get ready. And we feel God's called you to travel. And there's been a number of prophetic words. Matter of fact, I don't know now. I think I didn't save it. Where's that one, babe, that should be my favorites folder? I bet you I didn't put it in there. Nope, I didn't. That's just terrible. From that lady that left. And she sent a WhatsApp to us. And the WhatsApp said a whole beautiful splurge about Dawn and I, mostly about me. Mostly about Dawn and what Dawn carries and what I carry and what we do in the church and how she's so blessed to have been in the church for so many years, but she's moving down to Toti, but she wants to just bless us. And then she said, I feel that there's international travel on the cards. Well, not tarot cards, but, you know, there's international travel in the very near future for you guys. This was a week before I got up and shared about Brazil here and here. Without knowing anything. If I can have that picture up, please, if you just quickly. On the 13th of August, 2021, can I have some water, please? Right. 13th of August, 2021, at 16:36, this guy's name's Leandro Gomeres. He was quite a young man when Dawn and I were in Brazil in 2006, sorry. And he sent this to me in 2021. I miss you, friend. God bless you. And then he says, these photos were taken on August the 13th, 2006. So the other day I thought, I'm going to go back to this thing. I'm going to click on this. I'm going to click on it. I'm going to say, hey, Leandro, I'm coming to Belo Horizonte that week. And I'd love to see you. And as I look at the dates, I'm like, oh my gosh, hold on a second. 13th of August, 2021. He sends me, says, these photos were taken on the 13th of August, 2006. Hold on. No. Guess what day I fly to Brazil? Guess what day? We didn't plan it. 13th of August, 2026. How's that? Amen. I'm like, no ways. I mean, what are the chances? Why would he send that picture to me? And then say, hey, on the 13th of August, 2021, I'll send it to you now. I say, hey, because the 13th of August is when this picture was taken. I'm like, hey, I'm flying on the 13th of August. That someone else decided when I'm flying. How amazing is that? That is the Lord. And matter of fact, Brent said to me a month ago, the guy that I'm traveling with, Brent, Mark Nauman, another, it's 8 of us, or 12 of us actually. But he said, a number of us are landing in Sao Paulo on Friday, then we're flying to Belo, spending the weekend there, then flying back, and then we're doing the ministry with the 8 guys in Sao Paulo. Would you want to come with us to Belo? Who's going? It's myself, Mark Nauman, and a guy called Tabiso Motsepe. I almost say Patrice all the time, but it's not him. Tabiso! I wish he wishes he was Patrice. This guy's going to come to Grace Life. He's up in Joburg. He's about this tall. He's an incredible preacher. An amazing man of God. The 4 of us. So I'm like, yes. If I had said no, it wouldn't have been the 13th of August. How's that? Anyway, I thought I'd throw that out there because that is profound for me. I'm like, yes, thank you, Lord. And we had to make the decision, pay the flights. We had to do all that stuff before we kind of went, well, there's a lot of prophetic words and people saying you need to fly, but okay, but this is where it landed for me. I said, okay, Lord, you're speaking to me. Amen. So, the path number 5. I've got 20 minutes. 29 times. So this one's called Look Where You're Going. 29 times the word path or paths is spoken in the book of Proverbs. So there's a few of them. 1 verse 15, my son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths. 2 verse 9. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, a very good path. Proverbs 3, 6. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your paths straight. Proverbs 4, 26, 27. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. Thank you for opening that. So clearly a pathway and the path, we understand Proverbs 29:11, Jeremiah 29, for I know the plans I have for you. But those plans, of course, you can have a plan, but you've got to get to that plan. Amen? And so the Bible uses that wording, the word path, as a way to get to where God's called you to go. So we understand that because it's mentioned a number of times, the word path is very important, and the path that we take is very important. Every path you've ever taken in your life, every path, the thousands of decisions you've made has got you sitting in this chair, in that chair this morning, listening to my voice. Amen. Well, hollow earlier on. So this series actually is based on, I'm sure the guys would have mentioned it, a book by Andy Stanley called The Principle of the Path. How to get from where you are to where you want to be. Who wants to be somewhere? Why don't you put your hand up nice and high? That's most of you. It's good enough for us. Someone once said this, you don't need lots of people. You just need three people as obsessed as you are. You don't need many people, just three that are as obsessed as you are. Jesus understood this, that's why he had Peter, James, and John around him. Although sometimes he called them dull. You literally did, go look at the word. Why are you so dull? And that word dull is slow of learning. Why? So something gives me hope sometimes. I'm talking to someone like, my God, Jesus, son. Don't worry. You're also dull sometimes to my voice. I'm not. Yes, you are. How to get from where you are to... So I want to be somewhere. So then when I'm here, then I need to get there. So this is what this book is about. The path. How to get from here to there. Because your path is going to determine... Okay, let me go ahead of myself. Big point A here. The principle of the path. Your direction determines your destination. Amen? The principle of the path. Your direction determines your... Sean? You're 1 degree off, especially in space. If you go out of space, you're 1 degree off, you end up in Saturn and not the other one. Amen? Yeah, private joke in my own head. Your direction determines your destination. B, the principle of the path, the principle of focus. Your attention determines your direction. Amen. So take a look there. Attention, or should we go that way, I guess? Attention determines your direction, which determines your destination. You got that? Your attention determines your direction, which in turn determines your destination. So how do you get to where you want to be from where you are? Is your where you put your attention. Amen. So C, so A, B, C, the principle of choice. So you have principle of the path, principle of focus, the principle of choice. You get to choose what you give your attention to. So clearly we have attention determines your direction. Determines your destination. What you choose to give yourself to and your attention will get you where you are. So your choice now becomes very important. Amen. What you choose. Emotions tend to fuel the things that grab or capture your attention. Emotions tend to fuel the things that grab or capture your attention. They grab your attention. And often it's based on emotional things. Amen. It's an emotional response and it tends to grab or capture my attention. That's a way to make a choice. Remember, we're talking attention, direction, destination. Hey, the haze machine is trying. It's trying. Recent. A little bit too late, but we've got a problem with our haze machine. You notice there was no haze this morning. Holy Spirit wasn't here. God's going, hey, where's my smoke? You don't need the haze in the church and smoke. No, we understand all that. We understand. We don't need the haze and the nice lights and the colors and all. We know them. But it's lekker. Amen. It's just nice. I mean, who doesn't like it? You watch TV in your house, you got all these like big stock bright lights. No, but it's nice, soft. You know, why not? Amen. If we can, we can. Matter of fact, someone once said, 21st century hooks for 21st century fish. We're fishers of men, so we just use every hook we can to pull people into what God is doing and then show them how awesome God is. Amen. And be the church. Amen. So our haze machine will be working hopefully by next week, Ryan. I mean, Reese. Sorry. Emotions. Some people think, how do you take this guy? This guy's talking now. Like, I don't understand him. And that's good. You're not supposed to understand me. Only my wife understands me. And after 24 years of marriage almost, a few months' time, she still doesn't really understand me. But I said, babe, bring me a coffee and I'll be happy. Oh my gosh, I'm in Brazil on our anniversary. I'll have to move our anniversary next to 2 days down the line. All right, and then, hold on. Emotions tend to fuel the things that grab or capture our attention. Number two, intentionality tends to fuel what you pay and give attention to. Intentionality fuels what you pay or give attention to. Amen. Who's heard that phrase? Pay attention. Why? It's your school teacher, remember? I was at school, I think I was in standard something, standard eight. Was that grade 10? And I remember looking out the window at an accountancy class, and Mr. I forget his name, a tall guy. Usually, had like, obviously, acne when he was younger, because he had the, you know, like, he was a big oak, and I was like, a little oak looking out the window, and he just clapped me right off my. What? This is the 80s. Like, pay attention! Yes, sir. Yeah, those days, eh? But you know he paid attention after that. What you give your attention to determines your direction, and the direction you head in determines your destination. What you give your attention to determines your direction, and the direction you head in determines your destination. It sounds very simple, but it's outworking that stuff. What you give your attention to. So someone said to me many, many years ago, back in the day, when I wasn't even following God, I say this to myself, energy flows where attention goes. Energy flows where, now it sounds new agey, and probably was, but we bring it into the scriptures here and go, energy flows where attention goes. Energy flows. Well done, fool. I liked what you said there, man. You know, you weren't coming through to your monitors at first, but eventually I could hear your wonderful voice come out there. But well done, bro. Thank you, Jesus. It's all about that. Amen. It's about God. Amen. It's about Him. It's not about the worship. It's not about the music or the haze. It's not about the lights. It's not about the singing. It's about Jesus. It's about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. The heavenly hosts that worship Him. And we just join in on a Sunday morning and do our best. Under a tree in a broken building in Mozambique. Amen. I can tell you, going to Brazil, we've been to Brazil. It's like you go, you don't walk, it's like, they don't have buildings like this. For the most part, they're small kind of people trying to do their best they can with what they have. Amen. You drive past the favelas, there's hundreds of thousands of people living in these places. Like, Lord, help this country. Amen. These people, they need you like we all do. Is it relationship? So here's the thing, a couple of questions. What has your attention to these days? Is it a relationship? A career, a house, an enjoyable pastime, a person who's leading you somewhere you really don't want to go, a person who's leading you towards somewhere you actually do want to go, your marriage, is it your children, your faith, is it an achievement you're hoping to accomplish? What has your attention? Is it an emotional thing that's captured your attention, an advert on the side of the road? Or is it an intentional thing that you're choosing to go down this pathway? Amen. Okay, very important. Jesus was incredibly intentional about what he gave his attention to. Incredibly. Nothing just captured. Hey, a butterfly. Amen. He was very intentional about the words he spoke, the people he engaged, the paths he went down. From the time Jesus was born, if you look at his life, 13, 14 in the synagogue, preaching essentially to the older, he comes, then you don't really hear much of him, but you can. I can tell you now, every decision he made was geared towards where he was going. And then when the Holy Spirit came on him, from there, from the beginning of his ministry, every next step, every step he took was going to the cross. It was going to the cross. He was moving in every way, shape, or form. Amen. You know, a snake can sit for hours and hours and hours dead still, waiting for the prey. Dead, like not move a millimeter. Because the end game is what it needs, is food. Every step that snake makes will make towards getting that prey. Jesus is not he is the Son of God. Every step he makes is towards doing what he does. Amen? So as the church, every step we make in our lives should be geared towards accomplishing the purpose of God. Amen? I believe a time is coming, a generation is going to rise where what I'm saying is going to come out of the people, not the pastor trying to, pastor. This is what we do. This is how we are. Amen. Let's step into that. Whether you're 6 or 60 or 600. Proverbs 22. I'm running out of time. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple are doff. Jesus, horrible, Craig. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. I think the next scripture is the one I got it wrong here. Oh, no. Okay, there, I got it wrong here. I didn't change my notes. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we not drift away. So, just quickly, Hebrews chapter 2 is an incredible, from 1 to 2, about the gospel and about the new covenant. So, the writer of Hebrews says this, we must pay more careful attention to what we have heard. Which is what? He's talking about the gospel. He says, because even in the desert, the gospel is preached to the people of God, but they didn't understand it. And they still chose their own way. So now the gospel has come. The very thing that Moses was waiting for has come in Jesus. So now the writer of Hebrews is trying to explain what that means for us. The gospel now is a reality. And it's the rest of God. It's finding peace and rest in Him. Amen? People try to find peace in a relationship, peace through sex, peace through alcohol, peace through drugs, peace through peace through peace through, without peace of God, the peace of God. It is the United Nations, the brotherhood of man without the fatherhood of God. We will sort and find peace. We'll put peace in this world without God. Amen. It's every bad thing comes out of that place. Therefore, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we've heard, the gospel, so that we do not drift away. Many people in this hall this morning, this meeting this morning, and on the live feed, have drifted away from the Lord because they've stopped paying attention to the gospel. And they're drifting. No, drifting. My mom, when I was younger, she and her friend were on the beachfront, North Beach, and they had their arms linked on two silos or floating, whatever they were. She was in her 20s. And they were just kind of whatever. And next time they look up, they're like 200 meters offshore. I think they're half falling asleep, whatever. I think they had a rough night the night before. Sorry, Mom, if you're watching this. She's probably at church. Amen. Drifted without notice. You look up. Oh, my gosh. We're in danger. So you drift without even realizing you're just drifting away. It's this insidious thing. Amen. Satan's very happy to keep your attention grabbed by this thing. And the writer of Hebrews says, pay attention to that. The prudent see danger and take refuge. Whoa, hey, pay attention, the prudent. But the simple or the foolish keep going, oh, hey, and they pay the penalty. Yes. We had a guy, part of Grace Life, many, many years ago. Man, I'm running out of, just press pause. It's Kevin, hey, he spoke too long. What does that say? Kevin, I got me there. Southside, many years ago, keep going. So I said Grace Life and Southside. Same thing. Oh. And this guy came into the life of the church, hey, tall, 6'2", good looking, blue eyes, involved with another girl, they came together into the church. Well built. Used to have 12 eggs a day, had a little home gym, 12 eggs a day, that's what he told me. Workout, had abs. I mean, could have probably been a model. And it's probably late 30s, early 40s. He comes into the great guy. We knew him from Dawn Mason from the past. He was just part of the bluff crowd. And he comes in and but every now and again he goes on a bender, alcohol, on the weekends. And he's got a black guy. He always got into trouble. And so I would say to him, we'd serve coffee. I'd say to him, come and join the worship. Don't join the worship team, but come and hang out on us on a Saturday afternoon. We still had that side. And just come help set up and just get away from what you're doing on the weekends. And come on, yeah. Then you'd come on, and then you just wouldn't see, and then you'd do the same thing. Then come, then miss him Sunday morning, and hey, something happened, hey, went out the night, hey, over and over. And I was like, come on. And then the one Sunday, we get a message, hey, this guy's had an accident. He's in a bad way. And we find out later on, a week, two, 3 days later, Ryan had him in the hospital. He had a heavy bender, drunk, and he was there. There's a tall thing on the wall, and he fell off, and he hit his head. The next day, I go to his room. He's laying on the bed. I go, hey, how's it come up? I don't want to say his name. He sits up. Hey, how's it? Hey, I got a bad headache. I look in his eyes. He's got like his black around his eyes, yeah, but nowhere else. And I cut you and I scrape you. I'm like, how's it? I fell off my back. And my head sore. This is like 24 hours later. Not even 5 hours after that, rushed into hospital. Ryan takes him to hospital. He has to have a massive, he's a brain injury. Brain injury, bleeding on the brain. That's where the blood was coming out of his eyes. Yeah. They had to cut him open from ear to ear. Take his head there. Albert Latulli, they took him to the other hospital, other state hospital here. Lost the use of his right arm and his right leg. We tried to help him in the church for a number of months in someone's house, we just couldn't anymore. We couldn't. We put thousands of rands as a church trying to help the guy. And eventually this man became a patient of the state. And even to the day, I think today, he's still a patient of the state. I got two WhatsApps from him. One when he's looking for, hey, how's it, Craig? I'm looking for a motorbike. Da, 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 da. 2 months later,
how's it, Craig? Thank you for the food.
Pay the penalty. I don't know, that's what happened to me. I don't know, but that's the problem. When you go down that road, you pay attention to the wrong thing. You will pay the penalty down the line. Amen. The Lord doesn't want us to live like it. He wants us to walk the path he's called us to walk, because he has a destination for us as a bride, as the church. Amen. Your life is connected to mine now, 2026. In 2027, we might have split paths, split ways, and you're another church, arms or whatever. Well, I'm probably still, yeah. You understand? But not bitterly, just because God's moved, but you're impacting the world with the gospel. You're connected to the church. Amen. We can't allow things from the past to hamstring us. Hebrews 12. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Everything that happens in this life negatively, Satan wants to cause you to grow weary and lose heart. To do what? To stop walking the path that God wants you to go down so that your attention gets pulled from different ways and your direction changes and your destination ends up there. Family is amazing. I love family. I love my family. I give my life for my family. Amen. But Jesus is number one. The kingdom is number one, not my family. And if I find that if that's the right place, then my family finds its right place in the kingdom of God. And then I model to my family, my wife and my children, as us parents, we model to our children what this life is all about. It's about the kingdom of God advancing. It's about taking the gospel to a dead and dying world. Amen. Nothing wrong with having things, as long as things don't have us to take our attention away from the purpose and the plan of God, which is the destination of seeing the lost get saved. It's very simple, but incredibly difficult without the right attention on the right thing. Philippians, and I'm going to end with a scripture. Forgetting what is behind and straining. Listen to Paul, the apostle. Forgetting what is behind. If you have issues that have happened in the past, you bitter with someone in the church, bitter with the leader. Dawn and I could be bitter. We had someone in the church I esteemed that dropped me, that I felt betrayed me and rejected me. But then at the end of the day, he is not Jesus. Jesus didn't betray and reject me. A man did. And you'll have to walk that out with God somehow down the line. He doesn't stand and fall before me. He stands and falls before the Lord. Amen. And I got to heaven one day, I can't say, well, that church, that person, that guy, you know, I thought he was and he dropped me. God says, son, he didn't die on the cross for you. I did. So we can use any excuse from the past. Most of the time, it's just excuses. It's just reveling in the fleshliness of bitterness and offense. And it keeps me from going in the path God called me to go. Friends, we have to forget what's behind. There is nothing on this planet and no experience you have ever had that is strong enough and big enough to keep you from the call of God. I don't know how much you want to argue with me, but you're not going to get it right. Because that's the truth of the Bible. That's the word of God. Amen. Forgetting what is behind. Let me, Craig, understand. Forget it. And straining towards what is ahead. That doesn't mean that we don't find freedom. I'm going to talk about that quickly now. Because God calls us to work things out, but we forget what's behind. Straining. Say straining. I wonder what that Greek word is. Straining. Straining. That's not forgetting what is behind and ambling into my future. No. Straining. Straining towards what is ahead. What is ahead? Hey, my next promotion. Woohoo! A promotion coming up. I'm straining. I work every weekend for the next 3 years to get my promotion. Amen. No, that's not the. He's talking about the kingdom of God. Oh, well, Craig, no, not everybody is a full-time pastor. That's not the point. He's not writing to full. He's writing to the Philippian church. Yeah. He's not writing to me. Amen. I press on toward the goal. What's the goal? To win the prize for which God has called me. God's called every one of us to win a prize, yeah? We're in a race. Amen. Please, Lord, help us. God, help Johnny and Patricia Khorobla. Help Chris Stone. Help all these men and women that so wonderfully lead the church of God as they try their best to do what they do. And they this and they don't. And listen, love God's people, man. Love his people. God loves them. Yeah, but they, so what? Love them. We're all trying to advance the kingdom of God as we see fit. Who's got the truth here? Who's got all of it? No one. That's why we need each other. At least let's not be bitter and say negative things. Let's honor. Amen. You reap what you sow. I want honor. Who wants honor here? Well, then let's sow it. Why don't we stand together? Next step. So what do we do now? Remember, whatever has my attention is gonna determine my direction, which is gonna determine my destination. My what I look at is going to my choices is going to land me on where my attention is. Amen. Your choice is very important. So three quick steps here. Number one, join a life group is the very first thing. Find freedom, as I asked Ryan to read. We like to say that we are not a church that has small groups, but a church of small groups. Life groups are an integral part of the church, as they are the system we use to deliver the Find Freedom part of our vision. And we're going to be changing that this year very soon. Know God, find freedom, discover purpose, make a difference. Our vision, our values, our culture to form in there. Know God, find freedom, discover purpose, make a difference. Know God, be on a Sunday. Invite people and let them come to see God, know God in our togetherness. Number two, find freedom. Every one of us needs freedom from things we carry, from the past, issues. That's what life groups are for. Take a step into what God is calling you to do this morning as a member of Grace Life, someone part of this church. Join a life group. That is your next step. Find freedom. Discover purpose, which means it's the growth track. What is my purpose? What is my purpose through that growth track? And the fourth thing, make a difference. Join the dream team. Start to serve. Join. Why? Because God calls us to grow in those spaces. Amen. We believe people find forgiveness from God, but find healing in relationships with other believers. Life groups ensure. What did Alex say? Hey, I don't know about this. And then she was challenged. She used to read the NLT. Now she reads the NIV. That's a private joke. It's like, oh my God, I'm still on the NLT. It's okay. It's like the BLT. We all like it. Life groups ensure that there is a place for everyone in our community to be known and pastored throughout the week. That's the next step from this morning. Go outside and sign up. I've never done that, Craig. Do what Alex did. Go and sign up. You'll have a testimony to share. God will show you some things. It's His. Go look at the New Testament and the Old. They gathered in Solomon's colonnade week to week, and they met in each other's houses. Number two, fix your eyes on Jesus. So that read the Gospels through in a month. Grant, try to throw it out there. What we're going to do, where's my little thingy-majiggy? There. That thing. Start again today. But you're going to start on 4 to 6. Matthew 4 to 6. Matthew 4 to 6. We're going to do this all the way to the end of December. I'm going to do it. Follow me. Let's do it together. I'm going to read the Gospels 3-6 times in 6 months. Each Gospel is a painting of Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Looking at Jesus from different perspectives. We're going to, by the end of December, know what Jesus said and what He did. Who's going to be with me? So let's read them again. Last month, again, Craig. It's only 3 chapters a day. Start today. Matthew 4 to 6. Next month, start on the right date. 1, 2, 3. Amen. And then number 3, come back next week. We have one more week, which is an important one. I want to talk to you about what to do when you realize that there is a road closed sign on your path and you won't be able to reach the destination you were hoping to reach materially, physically, or in some other way. That's going to be a good one. Number 6, come back next week. So next step, join a life group today. Go home and read 4 to 6 of Matthew and carry on the rest of the month. And number 3, we'll see you next week. I don't understand what you're saying. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in the life of this church. Thank you for your hand upon us, Father. Lord, I pray every man and woman that has to make a choice this morning would not be making choices based on emotion, but choices most based on your word and intentionality around their path and their destiny. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Thank you.